Talking Tesla.
I'm not sure if like my foot should be on the brake or the accelerator.
Because they put rings on Elon.
It must be some sort of geometrical algorithm.
Are you ready now?
Oh, I'm sure this is math.
Tom? Robert?
Yeah.
Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot?
So, here's the deal. You know, I'm not a good Parker Tom.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah. I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. All the other cars are going to be stupid cars compared to this car. Tesla.
You don't even have
Tesla.
Yep, I remember that. You've got a Model X. I've seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
No, I wouldn't call it a screw-up. Do you like your Model X?
God, it's beautiful. Hey, guys. It's Talking Tesla 60. I don't know if anything happened in the last week since we chatted. Anything interesting? Anything?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you know, the democratic process ran its course.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah.
And we elected Donald Trump as the president of the United States of America.
Donald who?
Donald Trump. He's a developer from New York City.
The billionaire businessman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That guy?
That's him. Yeah. President.
He's the new Democratic president of the United States?
No, he's a Republican.
But he was a Democrat.
He was. Yeah, that was a while ago.
He's a Democrat Republican.
Yeah.
He's an opportunist.
So we're going to get things like in the future, and this is I'm not angry. I don't want to be angry, but we're going to get a Trump library, presidential library. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Get things like that.
It'll be big. It'll have presidential Trump papers. On the front.
He's surrounding himself with the best and the brightest so far.
So we had some discussions about, this isn't a political podcast. Nobody wants to hear our opinions about politics.
They don't.
And so I was thinking we should not say anything. But of course we have to, because there has been a tectonic shift when it comes to all things renewable, electric cars, and we have to have some discussion about what that means.
It has some widespread implications, and I have some things we'll talk about during the letter segment. But we have to make sure that we're not angry, right? Anger is not the answer at this point, so what this is an opportunity for all people who consider themselves progressive, for all people who voted for Donald Trump, not because of hatred, but voted for him because of change, right? You want change. They want small government. What comes with small government is individual responsibility. That's sort of always been the mantra of the Republican Party, right? We don't need small government because we think that people are inherently good and can do will be able to help the individuals in their communities, right? It doesn't need to be the federal government helping people in their communities. So now is an opportunity for us, progressives, everybody, to reach out and to fix our nation in small individual ways. If you see somebody that needs help, help them. If you see something that needs to be fixed, fix them. And that is both sides of the aisle, right? It's time to stop the vitriol, come together, and do what we can. If there are things that the new administration that you don't like that the new administration is doing, be active. Call your representative. Hell, call someone else's representative in a red county. Tell them you lived in that county. They won't know. They're not looking that shit up.
So you're going to start with lying. Starting with lying.
Not lying. I'm just saying.
Look,
like,
I like
let
what you're
know.
Saying here, Tom. This is an important time to become active. But let's first go through what other people are saying. About what this means for things like clean energy and for electric cars, and sort of keep it within the realm of what we're talking about on Talking Tesla. We'll see what other people are saying. We'll have a few words about that. And then we'll finish the first section with what we're going to do. So here is a article from Profit Confidential, and it says Trump presidency is not that bad for Tesla. So it's expected that Donald is part of this small government thing, is going to end clean energy subsidies.
The clean energy ones.
Though. Right. Just the clean ones, not the other ones. He's going to focus on non-renewables. Currently here in the United States, there's a federal tax credit of $7,500 if you buy an EV, up to 200,000 cars per manufacturer. That's expected to go away.
Question is, how soon will that go away?
Right. So right now it's through 2019, and then it sort of dips off after that. Here's a couple of quotes. This is from, I can't pronounce this word.
Susquehanna.
Susquehanna International Group. Matt Stover expresses his doubts that people reserving a Model 3 in 2016 are thinking about a tax credit that is some 2 or 3 years away. He thinks that 90% of them will still buy the car even after the tax credit goes away. Elon has in the past has said the same things. These incentives are nice. They can speed deployment of tech, but in the end, they're not the thing that drives it. The tech itself is the thing that drives it.
And actually, with the strategy of Tesla, I expect that pushing autopilot forward, pushing it in a really big way, and putting it on all the Model 3s is probably in anticipation of this political change that they were hedging on. So if you are faced with no incentives and you could buy a Honda for $20,000 or a Model 3 for $35,000, would you not bump up and push yourself because you're getting all this extra tech? So I'm thinking ahead that they're potentially thinking ahead on that one.
Well, I think that most people that had the Model 3 reservations, I mean, if they listen to this show, they realize most of those cars were not getting that tax credit anyways. So I think that specific thing, that specific policy won't affect Tesla. So I agree in that particular sense. If he ends the $7,500 tax credit, and he's not going to end it, he's going to not renew it, right? They're not the government, not him, because he is one member of a three-branch government, will not renew that. And so it won't move on to continue. And what that will have is, as we all know, the other car companies, they don't really give a crap for the most part. They're still building compliance cars for the most part. So it will have a chilling effect on their abilities to introduce, you know, whether or not it's a real, right? Whether that's a real thing that they're like, oh, we can't make these cars without a $7,500 tax credit, or if it's an excuse for them to not push themselves, to not go outside the box, to stay in their big truck profit margin centers.
So we should have said at the beginning, I should have said that we are going to talk about these things, but as many commentators have noted, we don't know what we're going to get. Freakout time is not yet. Yes, we're freaked out. But you don't really know what Donald's going to do because he played a role, and his role was get elected and say whatever you need to do to get elected. But one of the things he didn't do during that process was tell us anything specific. And already one of the prime things he ran on was immediately Obamacare will be repealed and replaced. That already has now been changed to modify Obamacare. That is a radical change. Build a wall was one of the things he ran on. They're going to build a wall day one. Now they're talking, maybe not so much. So we don't know what a Donald Trump presidency is going to be. But we do know from who he is potentially putting in positions of power what to expect. The head of the EPA is going to be a climate denier. So you would expect that a lot of this stuff about climate, incentives for clean energy will go away. So I think we can talk a little bit about that, but we can't be exactly sure what's going to happen because we don't know what he's going
to
do.
And I have something to say about that a little later.
Plus, he's not
climate change.
He's not going to continue the Washington insider thing, that Hillary was an insider, yet the first person that he hired was a Washington insider.
And that's why everybody says, like, this, we just don't know what to expect because who knows? Here's one from Washington Post, and it says, Trump will roll back regulation in fossil fuels, boost the coal industry, and
shale,
lots of shale. The industry as a whole is too far down the road of the path of addressing what consumers want and need from EVs, with brands such as Tesla and GM and Nissan leading the way, according to Tim Lim, analyst at Kelley Blue Book. So again, you have a lot of people saying, even though they may wind back these incentives, even though they may not give a crap about clean energy, the industry is already moving in that direction.
I disagree completely with that article, to be completely honest with you, because long-term artificially low gas prices, coal prices, right, which is what you'll get with this reduced thing, is you'll get a glut of coal on the market. We'll keep folks from adopting renewable electrical energies. That'll keep people from adopting, and trucks will keep being the big money makers for these car companies, and they won't feel any incentive to stop doing it. When did truck costs and prices go, you know, sales go down? When gas was super expensive, right? Mm-hmm. If gas is going to continue to be made cheap, if coal is going to continue to make cheap, if you're an energy company and you're sitting around going, what are the two fuel options? I could buy solar. I could build this solar plant that's not as super efficient as I would like to be. It causes needs a lot of space. Or I can buy a shit ton, for instance, of cheap coal.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not do that?
Well, I'm not sure how cheap he can make coal. Again, this is unless they're going to have government incentives.
It's supply and demand. If they're going to pull more out and increase the ability for them to take more coal out of the ground, it will be cheaper. It's already pretty damn cheap, but
again,
more available,
the industry the industry has not exactly been squashed by Obama. It's not like he's gone around and squashed it.
No, but again, like, regulations have made it difficult. Like, that's a lot of places, a bunch of second, third, fourth, fifth generation coal miners, they don't have jobs anymore.
Yeah, but that's really, I think that's from mostly from economics, that the economics of pulling coal out of the ground is not as cheap as it used to be, while the renewables like solar and wind have dropped in price substantially. But that's what gives me hope, is that I think the fossil fuel, for example, with oil, it's harder and harder to get the oil. The only reason we're talking about shale oil is because the easy shit has gone.
Yeah.
And now we have to do very, very expensive shit to get more oil.
And but if you look at where the coal goes, it goes primarily to make electricity. And it does so in coal-fired power plants, which have become more expensive to operate because they have to scrub the exhaust from those plants to reduce the carbon. They have to clean it up based on, well, that's not even clean coal.
Right, right.
Clean-ish. But they have to clean up their operations based on regulations that have been promulgated by the EPA. My mind is still scrambled. And so now the EPA is going to be head by a guy who is a former lobbyist for the oil and gas industry. And so, you know, they're going to just drop those regulations or say, yeah, well, we're not going to really enforce. So all of a sudden, operating your coal-fired power plant is going to drop dramatically. And so I think we're going to see a surge. Also, the fact that they want out of this voluntary Paris Climate Agreement is a big red flag as well, because the rest of the world does watch the United States. And this sort of gives an open hand to an awful lot of people around the world who have their fingers on mechanisms that can create an enormous amount of carbon. And so I think we're going to see a bump.
And we'll also see other countries that are very much already moving towards renewables, like China. They'll start to eat our lunch in the renewables, right? So they're starting to be the solar gigafactory, an American-made solar panels with American jobs, right? And if that sort of stuff has a more difficult time, you know, moving forward, it's going to be more difficult, and we'll be inundated with other solar panels. I'll be honest with you. I don't personally care where the solar panels come from at this point,
right,
as long as they come.
Right. And if President-elect Trump will, you know, look at the fundamentals of what he actually said, this nobody can depend on yet, in that things made in the United States are more important than things made elsewhere. How will he react to car companies, American car companies, using a ton of Korean materials in their cars or building their cars in Mexico?
Which Tesla does to a little bit. They have some plants in Mexico,
yeah,
which is okay. I mean, I'm not, this is not.
I think it's a lot smaller quantity or
sure.
percentage than the big three car makers,
yeah,
which definitely go there. Like, he, you know, picked on Carrier air conditioning equipment company, you know, because they moved a whole factory down to Mexico,
yeah,
and he beat on them and said, oh, we're going to put tariffs on your return products and basically force you to bring it all back here. Tesla's already here.
Yeah.
And a lot of renewables are already here.
Yeah, true.
And if we don't have to bring stuff from the Middle East, like oil, how is he going to react to that? And so this is all too much uncertainty for me.
Well, that's why he wants to, you know, boost our energy industry, so he doesn't have to rely on Middle Eastern and other oil from Venezuela.
Well,
from,
we've
from
got
all
a
over
lot
the place.
Of sunlight.
For sure.
And we got a lot of wind.
Tesserati, basically, Steve Hanley, who writes a lot of articles for Tesserati, says the same thing. He is doubtful that Trump's victory will actually impact Tesla very much, or Solar City, because they've got too much momentum, because solar electricity is now so cheap. It is clearly cheaper than fossil fuels. So he is not so concerned. Indeed, there's an article here in, wait for it, by Fred Lambert, who said, if you look at the last quarter, Tesla made $22 million last quarter.
Woo-hoo.
The oil and gas industry lost $67 billion.
Wah, 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 wah.
So he says, if job creation and not just rewarding the fossil fuel industry and their and sort of politics and them giving you money is really the true goal of the U.S. Political leadership, maybe they should think twice about introducing new policies that would slow the momentum of clean energies, as you've been talking about, in favor of fossil fuels. Instead, they should be focusing on introducing a level playing field. Again, Elon has said the same thing. If you really think that I've been ripping off the country by having federal incentives. Let's make a level playing field. No incentives for the fossil fuel industry, no incentives for clean renewables. I would like to compete with you in that market because I think I can eat your lunch.
Yeah, I think if there was a level playing field, for sure. But, you know, then you talk about Tesla being an American car company, an American solar panel company, and they are. But we also talk about week after week after week, their stated goal is to make it more automated, more robots. So then you're thinking, then you have got a company who's really focused on automation and not having a lot of jobs, and that could lessen their ability in the eyes of these companies of the government, where you have like, oh, you're a green company, but you're also not really producing a whole bunch of jobs because you've hired a bunch of robots. I know that's very, very cynical, but it's like just enough of an opening in the door.
I think that you got to look at who's the number one consumer of automated or robots for automation of manufacturing. China is buying all the robots. They're using them to a much greater extent, an order of magnitude more than Tesla. Tesla's just one of many, many, many
for sure
companies that are going in this direction. This is, in fact, I went this weekend up to art school with my son, who's looking at colleges, and he's interested in architecture. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, build buildings, build houses, that kind of thing. And I saw a huge focus on architecture of the manufacturing process and automation. I mean, people writing books about this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal. And Tesla's only like sort of putting it out there because they're pushing the envelope on this in addition to solar, EVs, and everything else, Hyperloop. So this is something that's happening everywhere. And you can't put Tesla out there. What actually, I think, the important story of this is that Tesla is actually using this new way of, it's not really a new way, but they're pushing the envelope on this new development within manufacturing to a degree that everyone else has not yet, like, conceived. Because back on the earnings call, basically, Elon was saying he wants to push that alien dreadnought, right? He's saying, you know, version 0.5, version 1, version 2. He wants to push it to the point where it's flowing as fast as the electrons can flow and getting everything together. There's like the limit, I think it was limit of physics is his goal. So the cars, I don't know, they'll be going through that thing at 70 miles an hour. Vroom, 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 vroom. Things flying on, you know, so this whole bit about automation, this is happening. Nobody's going to stop it.
No.
And the sad thing is that Trump got elected on this promise to bring jobs back and to ensure people keep their jobs. And it's like saying, stopping the sun. I'm going to stop the sun in the sky so we can all have more daylight.
To bring this together, there's two things going on. So there's the short term, and then there's the long term. So in the short term, what you want, if you want great manufacturing, is to be at the head of manufacturing, and it is robots, and it is buying German engineering companies that build the robots and sell those to China. And so that's where they're trying to go here. Initially, there'll be an upsurge in jobs as you have more manufacturing come back to the States, theoretically, and you're building lots of cars. But even Elon this week, as they were talking about it, saying, what's the logical endpoint of this? And this is no different than any science fiction writer has written for 50 years. The logical endpoint of this is that humans won't have enough work to do, theoretically. And so Elon was quoted as saying, at some point, there'll be some sort of minimum wage that everybody's going to get and live on because the robots are going to do everything. That's 100 years down the line, 200 years, 300 years, where everything is so automated. What do we do? Even Disney's made movies about it. We're going to be floating around and get fat and we're going to have no ability to walk because the dreadnought is doing everything. But in the shorter term, you have to compete with other people. And the only way to compete is by building your things faster and better. And that's not with humans. That's with the dreadnought.
Unlike Disney, I think that the future potential for that is that humans can really embrace their creative energies and their thought processes and their philosophical sort of moving forward and thinking about and helping one another with that free time where they don't have to go to work. They can do better things for each other if they're not focusing so much on that. We're not sitting, I mean, my future, you know, dream is not to sit around drinking an 800-ounce soda while a robot serves me bonbons. It's to sort of create and paint and take pictures and think and talk to people and have, you know, deep, meaningful discussions, unlike this show sometimes.
I have to just watch all the Kardashian reruns because I've never seen one, and I think it's time.
No, you shouldn't. No, you need to not do that.
Yeah, the Guardian, neither. Before we sort of, again, sort of bring it all together,
yeah.
The Guardian is a little more concerned than some of these other ones, saying that, according to Trent Berth, who's the senior scientist at the U.S. National Center for Atmospheric Research, said this is an unmitigated disaster. The U.S. could be a rogue state on climate change. They could get out of the Paris Accords. This Trumpian interference can only slow the trend of trying to fix the climate crisis, for which the window is now gone from decades in the future to a very short amount of time. We need to peak global emissions by 2020. And so that's right at the end of his first term. According to the Sierra Club president, Michael Byrne, who's somebody I really really respect, he said, this could be devastating for our climate and for our future, but Trump must choose wisely, or we guarantee him the hardest fight of his political life. We won't be on the defensive crouch for the next 4 years, licking our wounds. If he tries to roll us backwards on climate change, he's going to head into a mass of organized people who will fight him in the courts, in the Congress, and on the streets. We need to have a gigantuan effort to stop this guy. So on the one hand, he says climate change is bullshit. It's not human created. Then he says, but we're going to have clean coal. Why would you bother with clean coal if coal is not a problem? Then he goes to Mar-a-Lago and to Ireland and to Florida, where all his golf courses are right on the ocean. And he's building a wall there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because the seas are coming
today,
to take over.
Today he's building a wall.
And so that's, again, where we get confused, like, what does this guy really believe? What's really going to happen here? Because you get this mixed message. But as Michael Byrne from the Sierra Club has said, this is one of those things where I've never gone to a mass protest. I've never really called and sent letters to senators. But this is the stuff where I'll start to get busy, just as Thomas suggested.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to get busy and stop these things. And what I will say again is that it's important to be involved. Somebody needs to show Trump the list of current Superfund sites that are still needing to be cleaned up and the list of Superfund sites and what it costs to clean those up before he thinks about abolishing the EPA. Because these companies tend to do bad things when they're not regulated or have watchdogs over him. And here's what I'll say about climate change. Let's for 1 second, the three of us sit here and say, okay, climate change doesn't exist, right? And it's a coin toss. Let's say there's like some science is out and there isn't, and I realize that. What is the downside if we're wrong? Right? The downside if we're wrong is that America has sustainable, renewable energy into the next 300, 400, 500 years. The downside if they're wrong is that we're freaking underwater. Right? So which end of it do you want to be on? There's no downside. Tell me what is wrong with saying climate change exists and we need to move in this direction. Give me a negative.
The negative that they use
it
is
takes
the
jobs.
It's the short-term economics. If coal is less expensive, if petrol is less expensive than electricity or electric cars, then in the short term it's more expensive and it's all about short-term gain.
But it isn't.
But it's getting to the point, and this is where I'm going to summarize in just a second, where that's not true. So here's another one from Doug Fink, just to go on what something that Tom said. What is the first thing that the Alliance of Automotive Manufacturers did after Trump became the president-elect? They said, could you roll back these greenhouse guides that the Obama administration has put out? They're really hard. They make the cars more expensive. So they have already said, we can't trust these guys. They do not care about the climate. They care about producing profit. And so they're pissed at all these regulations. They're pissed at the EPA. And as a group already, they've gone out and said, roll them back. So let's bring it all together, boys. What do we do? This could be a disaster. We don't know how big a disaster. I think it's going to be a massive disaster because of the EPA more than anything else. So what do we do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. So a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to become more politically active than I have in my life. There's a podcast by Dan Carlin, who is a libertarian right-wing guy, but for other reasons, other than climate, he's sort of outlined what he thinks are the 10 Mussolini things that, if they occur and potentially could occur under a Donald Trump presidency, this is the time when you have to get into the streets. And one of his things is mass torture, mass incarceration. These are the kind of things where he says you've gone from you know, this is a democratic process to, we have to stop this guy through a democratic, nonviolent protest. So I'm going to be following this very closely. I'm going to get on the streets. I'm going to use my money and I'm going to do what I can to stop him f- our climate. That's the first thing I'm going to do. The next thing I'm going to say to those one percenters out there who are going to have a massive fucking tax return next year if he pulls, if he actually does the tax changes that he suggests. So it's people like me, very specifically people like me. If you have a S corporation here in the United States, currently that money that you get then flows to you privately. So you make money as a corporation and that profit then flows to you through your S corp and then you get taxed at the individual rate. 40% if you're in the highest tax bracket like me and many of the people listen to this. What he's going to do is that's going to stop. You will then get taxed at 15%. So instead of me paying 40% of my money, I'm going to pay 15% of my money, which is going to result in a huge budget deficit over time unless the economy grows ridiculously, which nobody believes is going to happen. So I'm going to suggest to the rich people like me who have S corporations who are about to get not $10,000 more in their taxes, they're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars less tax that they have to pay. I'm going to suggest to you one percenters, I'm going to try and start a movement here. Let's take every single one of those dollars that we don't need and let's spend it on things like the Sierra Club, like stopping him the planet. That is my suggestion to you.
That is what the Republicans have referred to since Ronald Reagan's administration as trickle-down economics. So just decide where you want your money to trickle down to. Make it trickle down to the things that you love, things that you support. Spend your money wisely, my friends.
I would say stay focused and don't lose sight of what is important to our great-great-grandchildren. I think back about, again, Love Canal. Love Canal, a major disaster in New York where companies dumped hundreds of thousands of pounds of toxic chemicals into this failed canal and then just freaking covered it up. And they got away with it because people didn't know, or the few people who did know had no power. But we live in the year of, in the decade or the era of Twitter and Facebook and all kinds of social media that to this point has not been controlled. And as long as the internet remains an open pathway for all of us to communicate and put things out, we'll be able to communicate if something terrible is going down, if greenhouse gas emissions or, you know, any kind of negative effect on the environment that threatens human existence, when those things start to become more evident, they're increasing, we should talk about it, blog about it, put it out there so everybody really knows, and feed that back to the government.
We got to have each other's backs.
Yeah.
So if I think there's some fundamental things you can do, one thing that industry in the States and across the world really respond to is social movements and when people are pissed off. So if you say, okay, Ford, you're not going to make any electric cars and you don't give a shit and you're just going to make SUVs. If you vote as a bloc by saying, well, I'm not buying Fords. If your electric company says, that, we're just going all coal all the time. You can say, well, I'm not buying it from you. I'm buying it from Tesla and I'm getting a Powerwall. If you have the money to do that, then you do that. And you do that with a letter and you do that with a social media posting and you say, this is what I'm doing to stop these. You're not going to get away with it. If Donald Trump comes out and sort of repeals the EPA and says, we don't care, we're going to pollute the crap out of it, you go into the streets and you start protesting. You make it clear that people are pissed and lawmakers will listen because there's a midterm coming in 2 years.
Yeah.
If as again a social movement, we say this is not okay, this is not the change we wanted. If you really make it clear, then the politicians will get on board with that. But you have to get out there and you have to get busy. The one thing I'm really pissed at about as an American citizen is how few f***ing people voted.
Well, what's really interesting is if you look in Michigan, how many people, Democrats, voted all the down ballot races as Democrats and didn't actually vote for president. 90,000 people in Michigan did not even vote for president. And that's a whole nother discussion about the political system and how people feel like they were not represented by the Democratic Party. It kind of took my breath away when I heard about this.
People didn't feel, I feel like most Americans don't feel represented by either party, to be honest with you, which is why most Americans don't vote. And a perfect example of that is in the state of California, which had 8 million plus voters who voted, cast a ballot, out of 17.5 million registered voters and 25-plus million eligible voters. So less than a third in a progressive state such as California. That's a big, big number. We should all think about that very, very deeply.
Yeah, this lethargy, a lot of my friends from overseas have been asking, how could this possibly happen? And everybody has their theories, but that's lethargy is the single biggest one. You had a choice between bad and horrible. And people are like, well, I don't like that choice, so I'm not going to choose. You know, California, there's been talk about California seceding, and of course that's never going to happen because of many constitutional reasons. Like, there is no way. There is no, nobody knows how you secede. There is no path to that.
If Texas hasn't done it by now.
Right. So, but California can be a bright and shining example of what you can do with renewable energy. So, as Tom was talking to me before the show, when it comes to our next governor and who we elect next, again, we that give a shit need to make sure that we have bright and shining examples of what can be done in this state. America looks, you know, the world looks at America, but America looks at California. If we have the cleanest roads, the cleanest air, the cleanest streams, then they will follow along. Maybe even the people in Kentucky will realize, boy, burning a lot of coal and oil is really bad for our environment. Look at California. Look how clean they are. And so we can do things. We will do things. We'll talk about this. I could talk about all the other crap as well, guns and all that stuff. But we'll keep it to, you know, renewable energy because that's what this show is about. But I will say one other thing that helped, that passed in California that's going to make a lot of things better. Marijuana is going to be legal. So when you're sad, you're going to be able to smoke a doobie and be happy again, Tom. And you'll be able to get fat and have bonbons. And it's going to
I voted no, just for the record.
I voted a big yes.
Not me. Robert, tiebreaker.
Wally is coming.
I just want to make it, I voted yes for the criminal aspects of it. I don't really care about marijuana as a drug. I just want to decriminalize the stupid thing. Too many people are in jail for that stupid drug, which is no worse than alcohol.
And which is costing us an incredible, a shit ton of money.
I still do not suggest my son, who is 16, go out and smoke. I will not be encouraging that. I won't be encouraging him to drink before he's due and all that stuff. But I don't think people shouldn't be in jail because they had a couple of ounces in their car. Silliness. Model X News. Let's talk about Model X News. Let's move on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. From the Tesla blog, they said this. Today, we are truly honored to announce that the Model X has been awarded the Golden Steering Award.
Das Golden Lenkrad.
Wow, that's pretty good. One of the most prestigious automotive awards in the world. Candidates for this award are nominated from hundreds of thousands of people across Europe for excellence across six categories, and they won. Now, what's interesting is that that's cool. The Model X won this great award in Europe, and it's all very exciting. But in that same blog, they felt the need to address some issues. We've had a 92% reduction in things breaking on the car. 90% of X owners would rebuy. The effing Falcon Wing doors are much better than they used to be. The powered front doors and the fob improved with less breakage. We fixed the middle row of seats, and on it goes of all of the things that were wrong with this car. And they're like, oh, but it's better now. Yeah. Oopsie. I guess they need to just sort of come straight out and address it. And I guess that's a good thing to say. This car was a bit of a mess in terms of its engineering, but we're fixing it all. It's all good, but it is funny to read. We're the best car ever that breaks all the time.
Well, it's breaking a lot less, and that's partly because they've burned through all these early parts that were created for the car. They were using a lot of like one-up parts. So they were making parts like as they were going, changing them as they were going, probably using some sort of metallic printer, 3D printer. And they're doing a lot less of that. They've tightened up the entire production line. And so thanks, Mel, for buying one of the prototype cars.
Oh, God. You know what? Guess what's wrong with my car again?
The wings.
Yeah. Oh.
What?
The effing Falcon Wing doors
what?
Are screwed
what's wrong
up
with them
again.
This time? Did they try to kill another family member?
No. Now the problem is them not opening. Now they get to three quarters.
Well, that's safer.
And stop.
That's so safer. Hobbit mode.
Yeah, just tall enough, even for somebody my size, to whack themselves right in the middle of the head.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's great. You know, the good thing about the Falcon Wing doors, it's easy to get grandma in, all right? They could be the grandma wing doors.
Yeah.
They get up really big, grandma can slip in there. But when they're three quarters high, they're not very good.
And the really nice thing about it is that grandma can just stand outside the car and the doors can just slam her into the car. Can just literally close them and just shove her right in the car. So she doesn't even have to use any of her own energy. It's the Wally door.
It's actually kind of a fun trick that if you do that and you have both doors open at the same time, you can fire right through the car at the other side.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty nice.
Look, I want to be clear. I love that car. It's a beautiful car. It's an amazing car. We're going to go on a trip up to the Sequoias. We're taking that car. all the other cars are stupid. This is the best car, except for one thing. The Falcon wing doors.
It's going to be fun in the Sequoias, though, because if a bear is chasing you, you can open the doors and just run right through the car and then trap the bear inside.
Oh, yeah.
But he's probably going to do poopies
and stuff.
An
animal trap.
I mean, what do you want? You want the bear to get you or the car? I pick the car because I kind of like having you around.
You know what? I could also just close the doors. It's up to them to decide if I'm going to live or not, apparently.
You know,
you've been talking really bad shit about me, Mel. Huh. Yeah, I'm not closing. Not closing. See how you go against that bear, big fella.
In the Yosemite Valley, you know, the bears are so well educated, they can get into different kinds of cars. They actually can. They know, like, which way, you know, to put your claw through this part of the window or that part of the car door. They don't know that. I bet you they don't know the Falcon
doors. No, they haven't figured that out. But it does have a regular old front door. Have you ever been to Curry Village in Yosemite?
Yes.
So they changed the name of it now. I can't remember what they call it. But at the entrance sign was like a car door kind of bent from the top window frame down in half. And they're like, leaving stuff locked in your car isn't secure.
Right.
Put it in a bear locker. Yeah. It was just a bent car door just demolished by
that
some bear.
Every year.
Bears are big and strong.
Let's talk about the Model 3 now from Teslarati. And I have one thing to say to Teslarati. I love you people to death. Every single article I read, you have words that don't have spaces between them. Please fix the spacing on your words before you put the publish button, Gene, and Electric Gen. It's like three or four words each
they get stuck
article.
Together.
It'll be like, by then. Yeah, well... You didn't notice. There's a shocker.
Yeah, dyslexic. I can't read anyway. Dyslexic. So whatever.
I love those guys, but
probably
they got
a formatting thing, because that happens sometimes for us when we go from, like, I'll write up in Word and then I'll transfer it over to Google Docs and then we'll go back and forth and so they just need a proofreader.
Yeah. I need a proofread before they hit a poublage.
So Gene from Teslarati, we love those guys. Said, you know, Tesla had their third quarter party. They throw very good parties, and they go, whoop, whoop, it's all good. So at their last party, where they were very excited because they made some cash instead of losing some cash.
Mm-hmm.
They spent it all on a soccer field.
Exactly. They put a Model 3 in the middle of this party, and of course, thankfully, some people took a lot of pictures.
Social media rules.
And they published them, and I got to say, this car looks pretty freaking nice. The only thing that freaks me outside looks beautiful. It's sort of bubbly. It's going to have a really low coefficient of drag. It looks really good until you look inside, and there's nothing in there except a 17-inch monitor that's turned on its side, and you're like, freaking me out.
There's a beautiful center console in there with places to stash stuff and a couple of cup holders. I agree. It looks more like a bubble every time I see it. I don't know if it had to do with the wide-angle vision of that particular shot. Can I have mine now, please? I would like mine now because I still don't have a car.
You know, one of the things that happened when Donald won... And I was thinking, all right, I'm going to take all my tax money. I'm going to do good things with it. I'm like, I'm just going to be buying Model 3s for everybody, Tom. I'm just going to be buying them. I'm going to have a stack them up and just buy them.
Oh, okay. Can I get it? Is there a line now? Is there tape on the ground?
I'm going to work out exactly how we'll do it. There'll be some lottery system. I don't like the lottery system.
I'm very unlucky. Very unlucky.
The automotive industry saying they want to, you know, roll back the EPA requirements. I'm like, oh, God, Tesla, can you make 20 million of these a year? Can you do that? Because that would be really
Fremont,
cool.
But it's only the limit of physics at Fremont. Limit of physics.
This looks like a stunning car, despite, you know, whether it's gas or electric or it's an American company or not American. It's a beautiful looking car. I think they're going to sell so many of these, it's going to make you weep.
Yeah.
Even without the $7,500 federal tax credit, which will disappear in the first 6 months anyway.
And even the base model is going to be a spectacular vehicle.
And if they pull off, we've said it many times, if they really pull off level 5 autonomous driving with the TAC 2.0, the hardware 2.0, shabam!
So I recall from the earnings call on which, you know, you had all of the big investors and even some of the press, Elon or... I can't remember who it was in the lineup said that they are on track for production to begin in July of 2017. I know initially Elon said that date was this sort of like, I had to make a date so all the suppliers knew I wasn't BSing and that they had to get their SHI together. And so everybody said, oh yeah, July 1 production. Yeah, right. Ha ha ha. We'll see it sometime in 2018. But they're saying now they're on track for everything. They're building out the robot line, the assembly line. They've got all their suppliers on board. They've got prototyping done. They've got systems already now in testing. So like the HVAC and the powertrain and a whole lot of stuff that I can't call off the top of my head, it's already in final testing mode. So it sounds like they're moving ahead and they've got their financing set. Evidently, I guess Elon made a big deal on that call about how they changed with all of their suppliers their credit. So in other words, with Model S and Model X, they get 45 days to pay. 45 days to pay for whatever, a big roll of aluminum or a bunch of circuit boards. And with three, they've got 60 days to pay. And the rate at which they're pushing the cars or anticipating pushing the cars through the line, they're going to be able to build the cars and deliver most of the cars. And we cars have to go a long way. Some people are buying cars in like Australia and Finland. And so he thinks that they're going to be able to push the cars through the factory. In other words, order, deposit received, push the car through the factory, get the car to the customer, get the money from the customer within 60 days so that they can basically build the car on the back of the suppliers and then finally pay the suppliers after the car is delivered.
Holy
Which is
smoke.
Like, yeah, this is why he's pushing for Alien Dreadnought. And if they can push cars out that fast, they can basically build cars on credit.
Yeah, that is, if that's true, that is genius.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And you know what's even more cool is that today, Monday, Tesla stock is down yet more. It's down to $180 a share.
Yeah, and that's, I think, because of all of the political uncertainty currently as to what does all this mean. Yeah. Every commentator saying it means nothing and others saying it means everything. I don't have any Tesla stock, but
I do.
I think it's a good time to buy a little extra.
Not much.
Yeah. No, this
is got to get my dollar cost averaging down, though. Maybe is a good opportunity.
This is keeping me kind of optimistic because the financials, the economics, the actual tech is, like you said, Mel, going to push renewables forward. It's just a matter of how fast. And the problem is that so many, and I've talked to now more people in the last 2 months who are going to buy a Tesla or get solar panels, and it's like they have no clue. We need, you know what we need? We need like some kind of a podcast that's going to educate people about how to get solar on your house and how to go into an electric vehicle and how do you charge your electric vehicle.
I'd listen to that podcast. That sounds great.
That'd be awesome. We need to get somebody really big to promote that.
Yeah. And one thing I think is interesting, right, is that all of this sort of momentum, let's call it, that Tesla has is happening in an environment of really cheap gas. Right. So that's
really
kind of
cheap
cool.
Gas.
Super cheap, even and not even cheap for the states, but cheap globally. We have some pretty inexpensive gasoline right now, and it doesn't seem to be slowing the momentum. The real question is, we've talked about before, they have to make these cars have better quality because not everybody's going to be as understanding as Dr. Herbert over there when it comes to their doors not working or other things not working properly.
Yeah, they have to. We've talked about it many times, and for no other reason than the fact that they won't be able to build service centers fast enough if these things break all the time. So they have to come off that line in really good shape, and they have to be the true promise of an electric car, which is basically you don't have to do anything to it for years. It just goes, and you don't even have to service it.
And wouldn't it be nice if you could just back into a supercharger location and do nothing. The little supercharger plug comes out and plugs into your car, and boop, you're all charging up.
I don't even want to back in. I want the car to back in. I'm going to get out.
Well, that's what it'll do, yeah. It'll just say, here, exit here, car plugs in, you go off to wherever, and you come back in 30 minutes.
I'm a little concerned I won't be able to get out of the car. Of course, I'll be eating bonbons and 32-ounce drinks all the time. I'm going to be so big within a short period of time, I'm not going to be able to get out.
I had to back into the Oxnard supercharger a couple weeks ago. I don't like backing into the supercharger.
That one's a little bit dicey because it's like right on the speedy part of the drive of the parking lot.
Yeah, and it's dark. It was dark at night. It was at night.
I like the new ones because I'm a bad parker. I've said it many times.
Yeah.
So I hate this. But I like the new ones. The new ones we've seen in Finland. We've seen one here where it's sort of all of its front driving. You just drive in and they've got multiple on. I like it a lot. I don't like the backing in ones.
And that segues into our next article about the supercharger network. How did we do that? It's like a professional show all of a sudden.
No, I think it's luck. So at Tesla.com.
Dumb luck.
Robert just touched on it in the last episode where he said, hang on a second here, it looks like they're going to start charging for superchargers. We didn't really have a chance to go into detail, but it says on the Tesla blog that superchargers are everywhere and there's more and more coming and they are fantastic for long distance driving. And we are going to have to build out this network a lot. I'm so glad they said that. So they said, you know, it used to be free. Supercharging used to be free.
Well, it still is.
Good.
Still
is it free? It's never. It was never free. Let's all
free. It was upfront charge.
We've had these conversations.
Free in quotes,
it's not free.
Air quotes.
Yeah. Air quotes.
We paid. You paid about what $2,500 up front for your free supercharging.
Nah, pretty sure I spent $100,000 for free supercharging.
Yeah, there you
that's
go.
Probably
yeah. Yeah. Nah, it's probably $2,000 plus the extra $40 for the battery pack.
Right. So that doesn't sound.
Well, it's going to get less free. Let's put it that way. Because if you order a Tesla after January 1st. Then you're going to get some free supercharging, free, 400 kilowatt hours, which is about the equivalent of 1,000 miles of driving. So you get that every year. But after that, there's going to be, according to them, a small fee to supercharge, which will be charged incrementally and cost less than the price of filling up at a comparable gas station. Okay, all cars will continue to come standard with the onboard hardware for supercharging. As we approach the launch of Model 3, this update will allow us to, here it is, greatly expand our supercharger network, providing customers with the best possible experience and bringing sustainable transport to even more people. I'm very excited about this. Get that cash and build out this thing muy rápido.
Get what cash?
This has gotten more. I've gotten more questions on this in the last week. So just to be clear, this means you have paid for, not deposit, but paid for a car before the end of the year and taking delivery by April 1st. So this is not Model 3, period. This means everybody after Gen 1 are going to have to pay for supercharger in increments. And we saw there was a slip up at Tesla. They let something get out on the website for Model 3. This was back maybe 2 months ago where you were going in to put your deposit in for your Model 3, which you were buying online. And then it said below that there was a box where you could buy kilowatt hours. And it didn't have any pricing, but it was just there. And it was there for a moment. Somebody caught it on a screenshot. And so it's just going to be you put in your credit card or you have your account, and you can do this probably from your car. And you just say, oh, I want another 100 kilowatts or I want another 500 kilowatts. And there'll be a pricing scheme. And or it probably is going to be unit credits, because in some places, like my experience, Massachusetts, where they're paying a huge amount of money for electricity, 44 cents a kilowatt hour versus LA, 14 cents, you're going to have some change in pricing, or people are going to, you know, there's going to be some, gaming of the system.
So Tesla Rady asked the question, I can't remember who wrote this one, will this actually make a difference to people buying the car? And they say they don't think it's going to, because initially you're going to be pay less for a Tesla up front. And again, on a $100,000 car, paying a, you know, extra couple of $1,000, nobody really cares. But on a $30,000, $35,000 car, every $1,000 counts. So if you can take out that and sort of a pay-as-you-go basis for supercharging, that should help. You have to buy fuel anyway, so they say it's going to be wash. And then they say something which I think is really important, that supercharging credits then could become sort of an incentive program. Buy a Tesla this week and you're going to have more supercharger credits. But I wanted them to take it further. I would love to buy Tom a present for Christmas.
Oh, God, I would love that too.
So Tom, wow, the man who has everything, who needs nothing. What do you get the man who has everything, who needs nothing? I'm going to get you another 400 kilowatt hours of credit for your supercharger because you drive your car a lot. How's that? What kind of a guy am I? I'm the best
You're
guy
You're an
ever.
Awesome guy, but I need a car first. And my Tesla that we currently own already has free supercharging for life. So
okay, next Christmas I'll get that for you.
So obviously that means if you buy a pre-owned, right? Those are all cars that are still going to have access to free supercharging for life, I'm assuming, yep, at the moment.
I'm sure.
All that good stuff.
I don't think so.
As long as you own it before January 1 or
I
April.
They're going to shut it down at the end of April if you don't
take
it.
I wouldn't
delivery.
Be surprised. Like, you bought your car, Robert, years ago. You've got free supercharging for life. But you sell that to me, I bet you they say there's been a change of ownership under this new system. You're only going to get 400 kilowatt hours, and then you have to. And I have no problem with that.
Per year.
Because the early adopters, they got their benefit. It's all good. Keep your car. That's fine. But they need so many more superchargers. I mean, I know I say it all the time. The number of supercharger networks they need to build out is extraordinary. It's an order of magnitude.
Oh,
it's got to be everywhere.
And they will have to change on the website, like that cost of ownership statistics kind of thing, right? The pricing that they talk about, like this includes X amount of supercharging miles per driven per year. And I don't know what they must have internal stats of what the average person uses. Mm-hmm. And my guess is the average person is using about 1,000 miles of supercharging. Right. Like it's there's probably, you know, a few percentage points of people. The guy from Test Loop, my guess is he's going to be buying a bunch of cars before January to try to lock in his sort of his fuel costs moving forward and stuff like that. But again, I don't know that it's going to deter Model 3 users. Hopefully it doesn't become like those NRG chargers where it's like $10 for 30 minutes at sort of a slow pace. But if they do it, based on kilowatt hours, I'm fine with that. If they do it based on time, based on some of the conversations we had last week about the speed of some of the chargers, that could be problematic. So I want to pay for what I'm getting, not for some nebulous time amount.
I agree with you. It makes no sense to do it based on time. It's got to be based on how many kilowatt hours you shove in that thing.
I basically expect it will be. But what makes this actually another good point about this is that when you have superchargers in places where the native energy cost from the net is high, it's going to incentivize PowerPack and solar. And so now Tesla has an additional incentive within to change the cost structure at that supercharger because people, number one, in that area are going to protest. And number two, it would make the economic argument that we can move to renewables that much faster.
Do you think that this might move Tesla into becoming an energy company in addition to its batteries, but just putting out solar arrays that they own?
It's already an energy company. So.
Yeah, but I mean like becoming a mainstream energy company, like here is the supercharger, and over there is a giant solar array, which is 10 times more than we need for the supercharger, and we're just going to sell that on the grid.
I could see that happening on some level. That's probably way, way, way down the line. Again, if they want to become, if they do become the car company we want them to become, they're going to need all of that energy, right? Like you had this conversation last week where you talk about we're going to need exponential more amount of
three
electricity.
Three times as much electricity.
Right, so if they produce their third of it just for their Model 3 cars, and they are producing a million cars or 2 million cars a year in multiple factories across the country, and it really becomes this juggernaut, then they probably won't have a lot of excess energy, to be honest with you. And they may be spending a lot of that Powerwall capacity and PowerPack capacity to keep their fleet charged.
So here's what I want them to do, because a lot of people live in apartments. They can't buy their own electricity. They would like to. Why not have Tesla solar? So I'm going to buy my electricity from Tesla, and they're going to build a giant solar factory over here and have all the solar energy, and I'll just become a Tesla user of electricity.
Yeah, it's very possible that that could happen. But, you know, like in an apartment building situation, obviously, whoever owns that building would have to agree to that. It just depends on the economics. But I think you do bring up an interesting point. So if you talk about Tesla charging for charging your car and charging for electricity for your home, then the sort of giant factory in Nevada becomes, you know, sort of self-fulfilling in its own way. It has to They're producing all of this energy that they're selling and needing to store to themselves, and they have a perfect thing to do it, perfect way to produce it, a perfect way to store it. Like it really is, it becomes a nice vertical,
integrated.
Right?
Yeah, incredibly vertically integrated. And if they can pull this off at the prices that we've been seeing solar energy in other countries, like 2 or 3 cents per kilowatt hour, then they could go and build these giant solar arrays. They could sell it to Mel for 14 cents a kilowatt hour, make it for 3 cents a kilowatt hour, huge profit to them, and then they can just build more. So this could be, again, the biggest, giantest company and the nicest, most beautiful, most clean company in the world, I'm just saying. I'm not saying don't buy stock because Mel told you because he needs a CAT scan. He's an idiot. I'm just saying it could be.
It's pretty possible in that model that it does really, again, become a self-fulfilling prophecy in and of itself, and they drive down the cost, and they're making so much profit that they're able to build second and third and fourth gigafactories all over the place, maybe two or three in America, two or three in South America. I mean, it's a model in places like that have sort of electrical problems. And a lot of places in the world, like, don't have electricity at night. They have all sorts of issues that Tesla really, if they get this thing rolling and are really able to scale themselves how they want to, it could be pretty damn impressive.
I'm very excited about these possibilities, and I have no problem, and I think most people won't have a problem, as this Tesla article suggests, of paying some reasonable fee for that electricity, knowing that it's clean electricity and knowing that that's going to help build out the infrastructure. I think most people are going to be like, that's all good, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to cost you $40 to fill your car, which is what it cost me to fill my car.
Bring it in at half price or whatever.
And it doesn't smell.
No, it doesn't.
It's not dirty on my hands.
Teslarati also has another article. We've got a lot of Teslarati articles this week. But this supercharger thing, it's just, you know, it's stupid. I got a better way. A better way to charge your S.
Do you? Oh, what is the way? Because I read this and I didn't really... No, I understood.
Bjorn Nyland is a guy that thinks outside the box.
This is silly. Right?
So what he did, silly. Just for fun, because he's a fun guy, bit of a character, is that he took his X and he towed his S behind it and he charged his car... His S while towing his X. So he has a video of a split screen of how much energy is getting used in the X and how much is going into the S. And it is the silliest, stupidest thing ever. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
We need some silly, though, in our lives.
I think a few things. One, Bjorn must have been really bored. Right? It's getting dark early. Oh. It's getting dark late in the morning. You know, it's getting into the winter months up there. It's boredom. The second thing is this could be really good for education. Imagine physics teachers, high school physics. We're trying to teach about energy and how electricity can be made, electricity can be used. And here you've got a real-time and cool, because it involves Tesla, example of how you can expend whatever, 100 units of electricity, and if you drag a car behind it, you can only get back 50 units. It's kind of, I think it's got a cool educational potential.
And if Bjorn had two X's, he could fully charge one, drag the other one behind it, and then when the first one was empty, drag it with the thing, and maybe have a perpetual energy machine.
It could drive forever. It would be interesting to see it. Hey, Bjorn, can you do that? Do exactly what Tom said. Let's see how far you can get. Can you get two cars and you drag one behind the other car and you get some energy back? And I don't know, it's possible that you could get 700 miles.
Right. Do them downhill, you know, never drive uphill and see if you can just keep driving. You can get, let's see, so an X would have like, let's say it had 312 miles of range or, right, something like that. Let's see if you can get it up to like 900 miles by dragging
a
car behind you.
It was like a 50% reduction.
Oh, Bjorn's a pretty smart guy. He'll figure it out.
It's all good. The machine that builds the machine is from Electric! So we talked about this before, that Tesla announced that they are buying the German engineering group. What's it called?
Grohmann.
Now, these... engineering group is considered one of the best manufacturers of machines that make machines.
Of course they are, because they're Germans.
And this initially was just, I thought, okay, here's Elon just buying the machines that'll build the machines, and that's, again, good vertical integration, and it's great. Mm-hmm. So that's a smart move. And then these people here in the Electric article were saying, it's also really good that this is a German company, that Tesla now owns a German company, because sometimes they have some regulatory issues in Germany and Europe. And for Tesla to be able to say, hey, we're bringing jobs, we're going to build lots of machines, we're going to build out the factory. And then the Germans will go, oh, that's all right, that's good. Tesla
you
now.
You know who's
They're
not
good.
Saying that?
The other manufacturers.
Daimler, VW Group. They're all saying, holy shit.
But also, you know, if you look at this another way, Tesla will probably put some of these robots in their solar plant as well. And Germany loves solar energy, right?
So you know what I thought the whole reason that they bought this company is because they need so many goddamn robots that they're going to buy the entire production of the company for God knows how long.
Yeah, they'll be using all of their own stuff for a while. But they said that they might even just open source this tech that they're going to develop about building the machines that build the machines so that other people can build the machines that build the machines, because in the end, what he wants to do is everybody to build the machines that build the machines that build the solar panels that build the electric car that save the world. Whew, it's hard to do that fast.
And you need a lot of engineers, buddy.
Yeah, and architects, like I was saying. This is like a whole area of study that really inspires me.
We're going to work really hard. It's called deferred compensation. Deferred, what's it called? When you work really hard and then you
it's
play
less. Socialism.
Deferred. We're going to work as a planet. Deferred gratification thing. We're going to work really hard so that in a generation or two, we don't have to work at all, and we all be artists like Tom eating bonbons and drinking sodas. It's good.
Not.
John Ford, let's do letters, ladies and gentlemen, boys.
Oh, John,
and
you're still listening, girls. John. We're happy that you're still listening. Are you still listening after the beginning of this show, John?
John is a listener. We really like John. He told us that he doesn't think that humans are involved with bad things in the climate. We agreed to disagree. He's still listening, which makes him a better man than me. And he said, just relax. He's not so worried about this stuff because he believes, again, that the economics are such that people are still going to be buying Model 3s with or without a Trump presidency, with or without incentives. This is going to be a great car. So, John, thanks for listening. You the man.
The problem is the speed. The speed of adoption, the speed of moving forward, non-carbon-producing energy, the speed right now is way too slow. It's like an order of magnitude too slow.
It's Elon's going to make it okay. I'm buying 6 more Teslas. Can't afford 6 more Teslas, but I got to buy Tom one. That's going to fix everything.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Somebody mark that down. What's today in time?
Remember that we are sort of in a post-fact universe now. So, post-fact. Tom, I am absolutely, as soon as the Model 3 comes out, I am building a Model 3 for you, except that I'm not going to. But I'm going to tell you right now that I am, because it turns out that I can change my mind. It doesn't matter. So, Tom, I'm buying you a Model 3.
I'm on an emotional roller coaster all of a sudden.
Get used to it, because that's how things are going to go the next few years.
I'm getting nauseous.
Patrick from South Dakota says, don't worry about these battery fires when you hear about Teslas crashing, because everything when it crashes burns, and that's bad. But you should only be worried about the sort of these spontaneous fires that can occur with batteries. Since that's not happening to Teslas, don't worry about it. We have seen that happen with the Galaxy Note 7. We have seen it with some really cheap, crappy batteries, but Tesla are not these, so everybody chillax. If you crash your car at 100 miles an hour, bad is going to happen. It's not just the fire.
Doesn't matter what car.
This weekend I flew on Southwest, and I'm sitting there with my phone and my laptop and everything, and then the stewardess comes on and says, if you're on the plane with a Galaxy 7 cell phone, you are not allowed to carry it on the plane. We'll be happy to make arrangements for you. And I was like, oh my God, that is like the death knell.
Who is voluntarily telling these airlines that they have a Galaxy S7 in their pocket, and what are they doing? Are they mailing them to your final destination?
I think you just get off the plane.
I flew last month, and the Southwest stewardess was walking around looking at people's phones.
They did. They made like 3 sweeps.
She's like, your phone's not going to kill me on this flight. If I find your phone and take it away.
How many S7s do you think were on that flight? Had to have been a couple.
You know, they.
Because if you have one, you're keeping it in your pocket, right?
Samsung said that I think now up to 90% of them have now been taken back because they basically gave you a full refund and plus some other incentives. So 90% of them are back. That means 10% are still out there. David Saward.
Let's just go with Saward.
Saward. says he loves the show, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And he lives up there in the Michigan. Mm. And Michigan, you know, they don't want you buying Teslas up there in the Michigan, and it drives him crazy.
Boo.
But the legislature there is working on allowing people to drive around without people in the car.
Yay.
So thank you for that note. But this is happening. We've got another one from Australia that legislatures are getting on board. Like, what does this mean? What does it mean for insurance? What does it mean for cops if you get pulled over and there's nobody in the car? All this kind of stuff. So people are thinking about it because they realize it's happening, and it is happening fast. Now, Mark.
Miguel Marquez.
Mark.
What? Really, dude?
Miguel Marquez. He is Spanish. He's from Spain. I don't know why I'm doing this accent.
That is so terrible. You need to stop now. I would like to apologize
Peter
for this
Sellers.
Podcast.
I don't know what accent I'm doing.
You must stop. You must stop.
I think there's a little fashion there.
Dr. Strangelove.
You must stop.
Dr. Strangelove here.
Sorry, Miguel.
He is a Model 3 owner, and I can't remember what is his question. Oh, he's got a number of things here, but he's like...
He said, I really enjoy listening. So that's the most important thing.
He's what is his point here?
If your car's involved into a crash when autonomous, how do you exchange information?
The cars are going to have to learn to talk.
So and then his second question was towing another vehicle. So again, if you're in a Model X and you're towing your trailer on level 5, wouldn't that be spectacular if the Tesla could drive itself while towing? But it will block a few of the rear sensors, right? Your trailer will constantly be blocking a sensor.
As well as the camera.
So will Tesla make kind of an additional towed array kind of thing? thing that you can put behind your trailer? How will they solve that? Can they solve it?
You have to buy a Tesla trailer.
By Airstream?
I would love a Tesla trailer that puts sensors in the back and has a little bit of capacity so that I can go 400 miles.
And it's covered with a solar roof?
Solar roof.
The whole thing is a solar roof.
Another one of those skateboards under it. It has all its own electricity. You can run your little trailer like Rolf did.
And as far as the crash thing, I don't really understand how that will work. It's an excellent question. My guess is at that point, the car companies will have taken on some of that autonomous liability, especially in a situation where you're not even in the car, right? And you've summoned it, which is kind of crazy. So maybe there'll just be like a QR code on the window, and you take your phone up to the QR code if it crashes into you and you're like, doot, and then that's where your information is and they contact you later.
Or the cars do that to each other, because if like somebody summoned their Tesla from Nebraska to LA, and someone in LA had a car summoned from LA to Nebraska, and they hit each other on the way.
Uh-huh.
The cars are empty.
Yeah.
The cars have to now communicate with each other. How do cars speak to each other? Oops, I'm sorry.
Mostly in binary.
I bumped your bumper.
And then it has to send you a note. Mel, kind of like your 16-year-old. A car crashed.
And what if you're a kid in Nebraska, right, and you want to go to LA, and you see this Tesla streaming by you, like, and you're on your bike or your skateboard, and you just grab onto the bumper, and you just free ride to LA on the back of a Tesla.
That would be an interesting thing. Well, I think I want to know. I'm looking forward to the first hookup. So, like, Joe's car traveling from LA to Nebraska hits Mary's car going from Nebraska to LA, and now Joe and Mary have to interact. Because their cars autonomously have had an accident, and then Joe and Mary fall in love.
Oh, it's going to be a beautiful movie.
Joe and Mary, you know, either go then move into L.A. or Nebraska, or maybe they keep a home in each town.
I thought you meant the cars were hooking up, but these cars in the middle of Nebraska go, hey, you're looking good.
It's
going to be Harry Met Sally in the autonomous age.
I just like the idea of the cars hooking up. Like, how does that work?
Stop. That's just dirty. But imagine this situation, right? So you need your car in like 4 or 5 days, and it gets into a little fender bender in the middle of Nebraska, and it keeps going. It exchanges things, and they're both Teslas. They both independently drive to the service center nearest you, get fixed by Tesla. You don't even know they were in an accident. How do you show me the Carfax on that one, buddy?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
You just get the bill. Look, Daniel Breslin.
No, you don't get the bill because you weren't in the car. It's not your liability.
We don't know that yet.
Somebody's got it. I'm not taking that liability. That's bullshit.
Daniel Breslin is from the UK, and he gave us a bit of a hard time because we didn't credit GP Grey segment, which was that segment about the Netherlands and all that stuff that I've already forgotten. And we're sorry because we absolutely should have done that. He loves the show, and we'll do a better job, Daniel, of making sure when we steal these segments from the interwebs of saying where they come from, because that CPG, what's it? It's so hard. CGP Grey is a genius. He's got many of these explainers, and they're so funny. Alan Northcott wants to talk about rooftop solar, and he was mad at us because one of us said that, current solar panels on your roof look bad, and he's like, I don't think they look bad at all. I think they look spectacular.
I didn't say that. I like my solar panels.
I like them for the same reason that Alan here likes them, which is telling the world. I've got solar panels. You should get them too. I'm making my own energy, and I can't tell you how many people have knocked on my door saying, who put your solar panels on? How much was it? They ask you about it. So I do like them, but the Tesla solar roof, that thing is gorgeous. That's next level.
I like my solar panels so much that I climbed up on a 20-foot ladder to get to the perfect corner of my roof to take a panoramic photo, and now it's on my Twitter page. It's really cool. At sunset. And the Tesla is sitting out in the corner.
I like my solar panels, but I don't like the space around them that don't have solar panels on them. And your roof, I was looking at your roof, Dr. Herbert.
Yes.
And there's a lot of space around your front panels. There's a lot of energy. Does the sun just not hit that part of your roof? So you didn't need to put panels there?
I want so much more. And he also brings up the fact that, I was saying I make like a quarter of the amount of energy in the winter than I do in the summer because of shading and other stuff. He has a similar kind of issue, and he says, but it's not just that, it's also that the amount of penetration of the photons is less in the winter, which is true. Oh, that's
a beautiful array.
I'm showing my Twitter page.
Seeing a picture of the solar panels on Robert's house here, and
my big ugly head is blocking my Tesla, which I feel ashamed of.
Get rid of your big ugly head. So, solar, good. Solar new solar ones, but new solar roofs by Tesla, even better. Overbuild your system if you want to be 100%. But hey, in a little podcast coming soon called Going Zero, we'll discuss all of these things. My ultimate goal of sustainable transport by...
Gabor Leidenfrost.
What did he say?
He said, happy birthday, Mel. Oh, thank did you. You have a birthday the day before election day? You did, didn't you?
I did. Didn't get my birthday present, though.
Happy birthday to you.
He says, look, there's a good reason that America should and wants to be energy independent because, you know, we all know this. The Middle East is a bit of a disaster, and I think we've already got to that point. I don't think we actually... import much Middle East oil anymore.
Somebody made that argument to me the other day. It's part of the global fuel system, right? So it doesn't really matter if it's not coming to the U.S. The fact that it's in the pool of gas that we need to use is the issue, right? More than anything. Of course, it's all sort of interrelated. Obviously, they're buddies with us. We buy our gas from Venezuela. We get our gas from ourselves. We get our gas from Canada. But Europe gets its gas from the Middle East. And that's all part of the global fuel system. So somebody's fueling global terrorism on a lot of levels. ISIS is using crude oil sales to fund their stuff. That's a big picture sort of question.
If the Donald's really upset about Iran, where's Iran's oil going?
So his last sentence is, let's work at the attainable, and we will in turn clean up the air, reduce emissions, make things better for our children and their children. And I will say to you, Gabor, you make my heart sore.
It does go back to what you were saying. The downsides to really aggressively getting renewable, cheap energy... not really much of a downside. There's more jobs there. There's clean energy. There's not pollution.
Yeah.
And people say, and you know, there's all these bullshit memes. Oh, well, the amount of carbon that it's produced to create a solar panel would mean that the payback period is 50 years. It's bullshit. It's about 6 months.
Yeah.
So when anybody tells you that, say bullshit.
This would be something that would be excellent for someone like Consumer Reports to put together a paper on. What is actually the carbon footprint of various sources of energy? And, you know, other organizations, though, they get tagged as being, quote, too green or too liberal, and they get ignored, put together information on how much it really does cost for a gallon of oil or a barrel of oil based on how much does the U.S., the U.K., France spend on defense to keep the shipping lanes open, and how much carbon is put out by all those ships that are actually moving the stuff around because they burn the dirtiest crude that there is.
Dirty, dirty.
So there is actually some numbers on that. And again, on I'll bring it up on the podcast in the future as we get Going Zero going. But the actual price per barrel of oil, you factoring all the military and all the stuff, it's actually astronomical.
Yeah. We should put that in the show notes.
But let's go on. Mikael Hellqvist.
Hellqvist?
Is that right?
Qvist.
So we talked about Sweden versus Switzerland.
Oh, my God. We screwed this up so many times. We cannot possibly apologize to more parts of this world.
Just remember one thing. Fondue will freeze in Sweden.
What does that mean?
Super helpful.
Well, fondue is this, you know, Swiss specialty, nice cheese. It's yummy, and you dip your bread in it.
Yeah.
But if you tried to do that in Sweden, where it's even colder... the fondue would freeze.
I said last week, basically, that Sweden and Switzerland are the same place.
What
and
the
I
hell
hold
is
to that.
Happening? You don't. No, you can't hold to that. No, you can't hold to that. This letter tells you to stop holding to that. He asked you this question. Are Australia and Austria basically the same place?
Basically, look at that. The spelling is almost identical. So how could they be that different?
That's true on some levels. Also, the spelling on aluminum and aluminium.
He says here that here is just a list of the nations that you've been able to offend in the last few episodes.
We did a good job, though.
Sweden, that has IKEA, Volvo, Skype, Spotify, Minecraft, DIC, the dynamite, the propeller. The
I didn't get those last three. The dynamite? Did they invent the dynamite? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, that Nobel Prize stuff from Alexander Nobel or whatever his name is from Sweden. The Netherlands, tulips. Denmark, Lego, Bang.
That's all the Netherlands got on this list is tulips. Yeah. Is this guy Swedish, you think, by any chance?
So he says, you need to try and offend Finland, Iceland, Norway in the next episode. And I'm definitely going to give that my best shot. And how the hell did you manage to elect Donald Trump? Oh,
Lego,
my God.
Lego and Bang & Olufsen. Like, look at this list you gave, Mikael. IKEA. Sweden gets like 9 amazing things, including the Nobel Prize guy. And the Netherlands gets flowers, as if that's all they've given us.
In the spirit of continuing to upset our international listeners, we created this.
Hey, you got any more of that chocolate from Sweden?
From Sweden? Great chocolate. Wait, oh, you mean Switzerland?
Yeah, whatever. Same country.
Switzerland and Sweden are two totally different countries, both linguistically, culturally.
Both flags have crosses on them.
Yeah, and one of them's yellow on a blue background on a flag-shaped flag.
Exactly.
And the other one is a white cross on a red background on a square-shaped
That's
flag.
That's very subtle.
It's not subtle at all. It's totally different.
They speak the same language.
No, they don't.
Swissish.
Swissish?
Yeah.
In Sweden, they speak Swedish.
That's what I said.
And in Switzerland, they speak Swiss.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. It's totally different.
Same difference.
Totally different.
Same thing.
No, Swedish sounds very mysterious, like the language of the Vikings, okay? Bitida en morgon innan solen upprann innan fåglarna. Swiss sounds like someone's hawking up a loogie.
48 IC und EC zog der Tunnel durch, also 24 in jede Richtung. Wir werden jetzt eigentlich wieder Beweis antreten, dass wir
sich im Griff haben.
Tell me you don't hear the difference.
Auch hinter der Kulisse wird mit enormem
Aufwand. Look, they both have a cross-country ski team.
Everyone has a cross-country ski
team. They're in the same location.
They're not in the same location.
Okay.
Totally
and
different.
They get most of their energy from hydroelectric
what are you
nuclear
even
power.
Talking
same
about?
Country,
what are you talking
same
about?
Thing.
They're totally different
countries. Yeah, you're wrong. Look it up on a map.
You look it up on a map. You just look at it.
Thanks to our very own Josh Kurse. We look forward to your emails. Lucian Wu, who is from Melbourne, Australia. That's where I used to live, mate.
What?
That's where I'm from, mate.
That's nice.
Well, I'm married from the outback, but I spent my high school and my college in Melbourne. Love Melbourne. He's a Medal Route 3 reservation holder, and he said everybody's settled down. He doesn't think that Trump coming into power will have a good or a bad effect. It will be a neutral effect.
No, he says
effect.
It will have a good and a bad effect is specifically what he wrote, but don't worry about what he wrote.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Look, in this post-fact era, I can say whatever I like.
Well, that's true. I forgot.
And then I can back down. He said, remember that most of the cars that Tesla ultimately will sell will not be in the U.S. And since the American federal tax credits don't matter to Australians, he doesn't really think it's going to be that big a deal because they're going to sell so many of these Teslas in other countries.
The largest car market in the world doesn't matter. That's fine. Whatever, man.
Paul Burton.
Burton.
He says, in all the same thing, that that the government is getting busy about thinking about autonomous vehicles and what it means, and so they're putting out these white papers about what it all means. All this to say is that people are really now believing this is going to be happening fast. Sean Evans, supercharging. What does he want to do with supercharging?
He loves his Model S, and he does a lot of long-distance trips, but when he buys his next one, will he lose free supercharging? If he doesn't buy it by January, he sure as hell will. Do you think Tesla will consider allowing current owners to transfer to a new vehicle? You kind of spoke about this.
I don't think so.
Okay, but here's an interesting point. You said that Robert loses his supercharging when the person who buys Robert's car loses his supercharging. Maybe Robert, as an early adopter, has earned that right to keep that forever, and he will get to transfer it. I don't think it's a terrible thing for Elon to do as sort of a thank you to all the early adopters who helped the car get off the ground. So again, what I recommend is maybe we send Elon a treat. And
a treat?
A tweet?
A treat. We'll send him a treat.
A tweet. Twick a tweet?
Twick a tweet?
Damn you.
Well, that's what the beauty of this system is. And in the articles that we talked about, they can later say, oh, you know what? We really should make sure that the early adopters get it. Here, have another couple of 1,000 kilowatt hours a year because you started the movement. Easy for them to do.
We hated that last episode. We're clearing out your account.
Yeah. I would like to, that's a test of whether he listens to the show. David Turner sent us a voicemail. We really like it. And David, we really sort of can't give you medical advice, but I do suggest you go to a physical therapist. This idea of sciatica in cars is a big deal. It's sort of well described. So some cars make people's sciatica worse and some cars make them better. So I'm sorry that you're feeling the pain of your S, but it's true. An X does sit up differently. It changes the mechanics. A lot of people find the X much nicer to sit in terms of their backs.
Work on your core.
Would that be a Series 2 chair, or is the chair completely different in the X?
It's completely different.
They've changed the chair in the S as well. I tried to get the new version, the Recaro chair.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, Recaro's making all the seats for Tesla.
So it's probably like the height of the seat is a little higher, so the rake of your like knee angle is probably a little bit different, would be my guess, right? You're sitting a little farther from the floor, so that angle of your, I don't know, I'm not a freaking kinesiologist. Oh, right word.
Kinesiologist.
Schwing.
Guess who has a degree in kinesiology, my wife?
Hmm.
Guess
well,
who did a year of
kinesiology. She's a kinesiologist.
I did my master's in kinesin exercise physiology. Diego Cuero, who has been on our show many times, says, chin up, it's not going to be as bad as you think. And here's why.
Hey, guys. This is Diego in Portland. Wanted to call in about the election results. And I have to say that Tuesday night could not sleep because all I could think about was that this was the beginning of the end of the world. Just a lot of fear setting in to me, thinking that renewables are now gonna not ramp up as quickly as we were all hoping they would with Trump as our new elected president. But I have to be honest, the last couple days, listening to Trump's rhetoric, how it's a complete 180 from how he was speaking during his campaign has me considering my fear. I think from a simple cost point of view, fossil fuels cannot compete with renewables. So I'm actually very optimistic regarding that. And I don't think incentives are gonna be much of a factor into the tipping point of mass adoption for renewables and EVs. Back to Trump's rhetoric. This guy's either brilliant or a complete idiot. And I hope he's brilliant, because if he's an idiot, we're screwed. And the reason I think he might be brilliant is simply that his strategy during his campaign might have been intentional, meaning that on really hot issues like immigration and trade, he's anchoring his position so far extreme to one end that when it comes to the negotiating table, people will, you know, they'll actually come to an agreement that will make a difference, just because people think he's coming to the table with his initial position as building a wall between Mexico and the U.S. Now, granted, I don't know how that applies to climate change, because his position on climate change is a hoax. So I'm still worried there, but let's just say I'm not as fearful as I thought I was. Anyway, hope this helps. Sorry for the long call, and keep up the great work. Thanks.
Now, Carl...
Liermakers.
Liermakers. Can you transfer free charging to a new owner? So a lot of people are asking the same question. So if
or
I have
like
a car,
you've leased, you're leasing a new Tesla. What if you decide to buy it?
Right. What happens? I think all of these are unknowns. There are known knowns, and there are unknown knowns, and there's known unknowns.
Known unknowns.
I don't know. I can't remember that Donald Rumsfeld quote, but it was
that
very
was
good.
Rumsfeld, and we don't even want him back.
He's probably coming back. Get used to it, baby. So we don't know, but because of the fact that these cars are smart, it's going to be easy for them to come up with a system of these credits and then modify it as they go. It's going to be interesting to see how it works. I guess what would happen, let's say I've used all my credits and I've got a Model 3 and I get into the supercharger network and I plug in. I assume something like this will happen. It'll pop up on my big 17-inch screen. Sorry, Mo, you don't have enough credits. Would you like to buy some? And I'll just click the little, the screen, and it'll already have my credit card information, and I'll get another $50 worth of credits. Yes.
So he's talking here about the transferring, and he's saying on June 2013 Q&A on Tesla's website, how much does it cost to use the supercharger? Supercharging is free for the life of the Model S once the supercharger option is enabled. And will it always be free? Yes. So it seems obvious that the buyer of his 2013 Classic would have unlimited supercharging access. Now, that would be obviously in a direct private sale. Now, if those cars go back to Tesla and then they get resold, I guess now Tesla has the opportunity to change that paradigm if they really want to. Do they want to? I mean, again, we're not talking about a whole lot of cars, so there's not a real incentive for them to change it on the cars that they've built so far, because the total number of those cars in the U.S. is probably 100,000,
yeah,
right? 125,000,
yeah, maybe it'll
like
be 150,000.
So it's not,
say you're right.
It's not a big number as far as their whole fleet goes, so it seems to me like more of a PR nightmare to kind of cut that off and really have a hard date on these cars.
And this happened before, right? There was a situation, this was probably a year and a half ago, where Tesla owners were sort of abusing the system. They were parking their cars at the supercharger and going to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and then coming back in a supercharging location with only like 6 chargers, and it's a very popular one. And so these problems have happened, and Tesla had then sent out letters, and Elon had said, well, I don't know if supercharger will be free for life. And there was like an uproar in the Tesla community. So mm-hmm. Occupy Supercharger is probably a plausible movement within the Tesla community. But I think what he's trying to do is the right thing, not anticipating that people would be like real dicks around supercharging, like leave your car there all night. And, you know, because Elon probably didn't even conceive that somebody could do something as stupid as that. And making superchargers more like gas stations, right? That's the paradigm that everybody's used to. Why not have superchargers like gas stations? You just need more of them because it takes longer to fill up.
And they're doing those deals, more and more of those deals, with current gas stations and putting superchargers into them because they've already got the infrastructure. And the autonomous vehicle driving stuff solves so much of this stuff. I go plug my car in, or it plugs itself in, and it unplugs itself and it drives across the street. So autonomous snaky snakes and autonomous cars fix so many of these problems.
Or you get home and the car says, you know, how long do you plan to be at home? And you say, well, I'm going to go to sleep. And it says, okay, in an hour or whenever the supercharger is available, I'm going to go charge up for you. And then return back to your home, especially if you live in an apartment or in a place where you're not allowed to place a supercharger, like a condo with a homeowners association. And so I'm going to just share one picture. I'll put it on the
show, buddy. We can't do things like this.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on my tweet thing. There's Pea Soup Anderson's.
Mm-hmm. Pea Soup Anderson.
And Santanella. This will be the 7th supercharger between L.A. and San Francisco, depending on how you route. You know, you can go to Gilroy or you can go up the 580. This will be the 7th. So they're going to be at 150 miles apart, really quite short, close together. The only problem is that, you know, I'm looking at the Anderson's little brochure that I picked up, and it's got a car on it from like 1982. And when you walk into Anderson's, it's kind of gotten old.
The other problem is that every single one of those, except for one, is a back-end supercharger. This one here on the left is the only one that's a drive front. So I'll be in that one if I'm at Anderson's. I have a question. You've been saying for a couple weeks now.
No, actually, this one you're pointing at is in the wrong position. It's on the wrong side of the car. This is for somebody who's going to drive up with a trailer.
No, this is what I'm saying. If you pull into that spot right there, that's the right side of the car. What are you talking about?
Well, it could be it could be used for a trailer, though.
It could be,
because you've got this open space here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true. You'd have to come in like your ex that way, pulling your trailer right there. I think the people at Anderson's might not like that. But I have a better question. I've always called it Anderson's Pea Soup. You call it Pea Soup Anderson's.
That's right.
I like his. Pea Soup Anderson sounds cool.
Well, what does the brochure say?
It does say
there?
Pea Soup Anderson's. Yeah, I'm seeing that right
Anderson's.
Now, but I don't know if that's just like
they make
Anderson's.
Great
we make pea soup.
Soup. Great pea soup. Vegan and or with little chunks of some mystery meat.
Hamon.
Maybe.
Mystery meat?
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah. The problem is, you know, we got off the freeway.
Oh, no. Don't say that about our nice friends at Anderson's. They use ham. How dare you?
The site is a little bit dicey, you know, like the parking lot's got a lot of potholes. It looks like it's been forgotten. But I'm looking forward to being there because it gives us an opportunity to have something other than steak at Harris Ranch, which is not good for the environment.
Cow switch.
It's Pea Soup Anderson's. It is right here many, many times. Interesting.
Wow, this show has jumped the shark. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
It has not. This show's been spectacular, uplifting, upbeat, and the people have spoken.
Yeah, they have. That's the problem. So we were depressed. We were sad at the beginning. Then we came up with a plan. We're going to do some good things here. We're going to be politically active. We're going to buy solar. We're going to get electric cars.
Pay attention.
I'm going to suggest to the 1% of the 1%ers that are going to make how much? Load of money?
A shit ton, Mel.
A shit ton of money, because now they're going to get taxed at 15% instead of 40%. That all of those people are going to take that money and they're going to put it towards good things like the Sierra Club and like all these other good things. That's going to be billions of dollars. It's going to change everything. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. We're going to be with you for the next 4 years on this show, making the world a better place.
To next week, 61.
I can't wait till episode 100. We're only 40 weeks away.
Whoa. Due to all the exciting things that happened this week, I didn't get a chance to edit Going Zero. But part two with our interview with Dwight will be coming next week. Oh, and then there's this. There's really no difference between Germany and Austria. Oh, yeah, I said it. Boom. Discuss.
Talking Tesla is a production of Fulibu Incorporated. Produced by Mel Herbert and CC Herbert. Hosted by Mel Herbert, Tom Wolfson, and Robert Rosenblum. To support Talking Tesla, go to patreon.com/talkingtesla. If you love the show, write us a review on iTunes.